Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and I've had a burger and soda, and I am jacked up. Of course, how we sit over there. What's up, man?
Not much, dude. I've had my cup of coffee, my afternoon coffee. That's getting me by right now.
I went to the you'll love this because I went to a high school basketball game this morning, and right down the street from the high school is Hud's, the burger place, and I know you remember Hud's.
Yeah, yeah.
Hud's does a really nice burger, and they were Sonic before Sonic was cool. they did the high quality drinks, and I always get a vanilla cream coke when I'm in there, and I got me a 24 ounce vanilla cream coke, which is totally reasonable. It totally makes sense. And then as I was walking out, I got a refill.
Nice.
Huge mistake.
So if I see you squirming during the show.
That's right. I'm totally jacked up. Yeah. We're old.
We are old. Yes.
Yeah.
Have we talked about that recently on the show? It seems to be a recurring theme for us recently. Solidly old.
Here's the deal, okay? I feel better about us being, about us talking about being old on this show, because Tony and Mike on PTI did like 20 minutes on being old this week. And so, like, I'm glad that it's not just us.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we're not the only ones that feel that way, because they were talking about, they made some reference to Laverne and Shirley and talked about how 95% of the audience don't know Laverne and Shirley. We still know Laverne and Shirley, which I'm happy about.
Sure.
But 95% of this audience doesn't know Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, so. I would be really, really surprised. Because we're old.
Yes.
And it's okay.
We are.
That is true.
I've decided we just need to embrace it.
Yes.
And be done with it.
No, I mean, it's what happens. We're not stopping it. So live it up and be old curmudgeons talking about video games. And I'm fine with that.
Yes, absolutely. We're excited because we have a new, we talked about last week that we're working on a space for E4, and that's very quickly moving forward.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And
Tommy gets to help me shop this week.
Yes, so we're pumped. Which is super fun.
Yeah.
I've got tabs open already.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous. So, I love it.
Yeah. All that said, we've got a fun show because I don't know if y'all have heard. There's some gaming news going on that we haven't talked about yet. We're now going to fill some time. And then Microsoft said, here you go. We'll figure it out for you. And so, yeah.
I don't know if we can get all this in an hour.
There's no way we're going to be talking about this for a long time. So it's going to be a lot of kind of initial impressions today. And so we will get into that shortly. We will get into the news pretty quick today because we've got lots of it to talk about. Quickly, though, before we do that and talk about some stuff we've been playing. Thanks to the Patreon guys, Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. We appreciate y'all. I've played some games this week, actually, which is exciting because it hasn't happened much recently. I got a chance to this week and I'm thrilled about it. So we'll talk about that here in a second. And that's because of you guys. We are using your hard-earned money to play video games to talk to you about playing video games. And we appreciate that a ton because that's awesome. So thank you guys for your support.
You totally surprised me today. I was just going to say, my plan for this afternoon was to catch up on what you
nice.
I'm about 90 minutes behind you, I think. And then I got out of the basketball and you were like, you want to do a show? And I was like, really? really? It's kind of weird, but okay.
Yeah, we had family in and out all week. We didn't know when they were leaving or whatever. And so finally, family out of the house and ready to go. So back to Patreon though, really quick. If you want to support us on Patreon, go by gaminguncensored.com. Click that Become a Patron link. Of course, you can see the video version of this podcast over there.
When it
works. I mean, it was up from last week. You just didn't have video for the last 10 minutes. So hopefully nothing freaks out on us this week. If it does, you'll still get the first part of it on video and get to look at a blank screen for the rest of the time, which I'm sure is super fun. So, if you want to support us, we'd appreciate it a ton.
That's why we're excited about the new space, because it was going to start out being the E4 space, but it's really the Gaming Uncensored, this is where I go to do shows space. Because as far as technology goes, we're going to have a whole lot better technology over there.
Yeah.
For doing this show. And so it's kind of one of those things where you start thinking about that. And I'm looking at that Patreon going, okay, we got to make some more money somewhere. So I will put out the call that I will do whatever you Patreon people need me to do to get some more money for the show. Like, you want me to wear a wig? You want me to wear a fake beard? I don't care. Just give me your money because we've got crap to pay for.
Yes.
So
we do have crap to pay for, which is fun. It's fun to have crap to pay for, but it does cost money.
Yes.
So, GamingAgainstSister.com, become a patron. We'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Just on the gaming front, really quick, again, so we can get into the news, because there's a ton to talk about. Been playing more Guardians, trying to get through that in the next few weeks. Doesn't think that's going to happen, but we got Horizon on the horizon. I didn't even mean to do that, but that was great. So we got to get through so we can get Horizon going when it gets here. I don't really have much new to say about Guardians. It's just still really good. It's really, really fun. I was thinking about it while playing it, the best way to kind of describe it, like for somebody who hasn't picked it up or is interested but not sure. It really is mostly a walking simulator. Like, let's be real honest about what the thing is. It's a walking simulator with some puzzles and then every once in a while some combat. And the combat kind of sucks. It's not awful, but it's not great. But the rest of it's really cool. It's a good story. It's fun characters. It is supremely well written. It is really, really fun on a narrative standpoint. If you're okay with like gameplay that's just kind of there because you have to have it for it to be a video game, but that's really like it's super cinematic. It's as close to like playing a Marvel movie as I can kind of imagine.
See, there it is. There it is. Cause I was going to correct you. It is not a walking simulator because walking simulators are boring. That's not what it is. This is like when we were kids and we dreamed about playing a movie. That's what this is.
Yeah.
And it's actually better than a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Sorry, Marvel and Disney, but this is better than the other two things that you put out. So, yeah, that's what that is. So you can call it a walking simulator if you want, but really what it is an interactive movie.
It's a good way to approach it if you want to think about it in those terms. Again, knowing that, like, if you're looking for, like, really clever, interesting combat, this isn't what you're going to get it from. Like, it's just not that.
No.
And that's okay. Like, I'm fine with it not being, just gameplay type of game. It's just not. It's still okay. It's. I've had fun moments in the combat. Some of the kind of boss fights that you have to kind of figure out patterns and puzzles and that kind of stuff are cool-ish. Nothing that I'm going to, like, ever go like, oh, yeah, that was one of the best gameplay experiences I ever had. But the game itself is going to stick with me for a while because it's just well done. And again, from a writing standpoint, I can't think of a game that is done constant dialogue narrative like this. Like, just that's the thing that stands out the most, is that it's just constantly talking to you, because you've got this crew that are all these interesting characters that have all these fun interactions. And it's just like it, like how you would imagine it would be if you were in that situation where there's just constant banter going on. And it just is executed like what I would think like a Mass Effect in the future might be or something like that. Okay, this is going to set the kind of bar for what that kind of game is going forward.
I'm glad that you went there. I'm glad that you went there, because I was about to say the problem with this game is that other games like Mass Effect have tried to do this for years and have done it, but not like the Mass Effect banter, even in Andromeda, is good, but it's not this.
Yeah.
And so that's what I was about to say, was this is what those type of games need to be in the future. However, I don't feel like just everybody's going to be able to pull it off.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you know that there were millions and millions and millions of lines put into the last Mass Effect, but they weren't this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I hope they can pull it off, but I just don't. It's kind of scary when you think about it.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely shows that the team put their time and efforts into this part of the game. And not, again, you can't do everything. Like, that's a thing. You got to figure out what you're going to focus on. And this is what they chose to focus on. It's not an open world game. It's not, this is why I call it a walking simulator. You have very little control over where you go in the world. There's one point of exploration so far in nowhere where you got to kind of explore slightly, but it's still a really confined area. It's very, you know, like, if I were to compare it to another franchise, the closest thing I can compare it to is something like Uncharted, right? Like, it plays a lot like Uncharted with a lot less combat and a lot less exploration than the later Uncharted games had, even. It's very, very confined. It's almost on rails. And all those things that I usually am like, I'm not really into that game, I don't care, because it's a really fun narrative and it's engaging and everything else. So all that to say, I think it's worth your time.
We do not have time to go down this trail, but I'm going to anyway. I have been to the theater once a month for the last 3 months. And every time that I've been to the theater, I have seen the trailer for the new Uncharted with what's the kid's
Tom
name?
Tom Holland.
Right, it's Tom, the Spider-Man kid, right?
Yep.
and like, I'm trying to like him as Nathan Drake, but he looks like he's 12. Like,
yeah.
He looks like he's 12. And I'm just, every time I see that, I'm trying not to cringe.
Yeah. I'm excited for the movie. I want to see it. Obviously, it's young Nathan Drake. But man, it's, yeah, they're going to have to really sell it. The trailer's look okay, but I sure haven't been sold on it yet. You're really gonna have to sell me.
Because my brain says that Nathan Drake in real life is Nathan Fillion. That's Nathan Drake at this point.
Yeah.
He would fit that role perfectly.
Maybe he's getting kind of old.
Yeah, but I think he can still pull it off. I don't know. I really have issues with Tom Holland as Nathan Drake, but I hope.
Yeah,
I hope.
I do too. I'm cautiously optimistic that's gonna be fun. If nothing else, the action sequences in it look like a lot of fun, and so yes. Like make it a kind of check your brain action sequence heavy thing, and I'll be fine.
Right. Absolutely. So we have news.
Yes, we do. And everybody knows this news already, but man, we got a lot to talk about with it because the speculation is all the fun part of the news. The news itself is whatever. But of course, the news is that Microsoft has started the process. Let me put it that way because this isn't final yet. There's a lot of things that have to happen. But Microsoft has started the process and announced that they're doing this of acquiring Activision Blizzard for just shy of $70 billion, which is just nuts.
68.7 to be exact.
Just wild. Just nuts numbers. So obviously when Microsoft acquired Bethesda, whatever, a year and a half, 2 years ago, what that was a huge earth-shattering game industry upending deal, and that looks quite pale in comparison. Like Activision Blizzard is the largest third-party publisher of games, bigger than EA, bigger than Ubisoft, bigger than Bethesda was, bigger than whoever else you're naming out there. At least I say that. Let's make sure we caveat of kind of the game world that we talk about. Tencent from China is bigger, but I feel like they're kind of in a separate category in their own thing. So
we need to kind of go through that real quickly because I've been watching this all week, right?
Yeah.
And you're right. They publish a lot of stuff, but really what they paid for, what the reason they paid $68.7 billion is to own Call of Duty. That's the big dog out of everything. And yeah, there's a ton of other stuff in there. And the other stuff is what I want to talk about because every other gaming podcast out there on IGN and everybody else is like, ooh, they bought Call of Duty. And yeah, that's
sure.
What they did. But can we get a list of the other?
Of course, stuff? Because yeah, I would argue that they didn't pay for Call of Duty. Call of Duty is obviously a big deal, but Warcraft, obviously, like yes. World of Warcraft is massive, right? Candy Crush is under the Activision umbrella, and so like we're already like hitting just about every type of gamer: Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, Candy Crush, like. You fall under one of those umbrellas, right? Tony Hawk, everything else, Blizzard, obviously. So StarCraft, Diablo, Overwatch is just a massive deal. Guitar Hero is under this umbrella. Guitar Hero hasn't been around prominently for several years, but Phil is already talking about bringing that back. And so we'll probably see new Guitar Hero coming. This one is the one that's the weird one. I've talked about how I've played a lot of Sonic the Hedgehog on my Switch, and that just boggles my mind. Microsoft now owns Crash Bandicoot. Crash Bandicoot is under the Activision umbrella now, and so Microsoft owns the original PlayStation mascot, which is just, again, one of those things that you're like, what is happening to my childhood? You know, like, just bizarre. It's hard to overstate what Microsoft now has. And when you go back to like legacy software, one of the things I love Phil in one of these interviews, which he's done a billion of since this happened, obviously, mentioned Hexen, you know, of like, hey, I want to bring Hexen back. That's under Activision. Like, yep, it sure is. What? You know, like just, it's crazy the catalog that Microsoft is going to own if this all goes through. We'll talk about some of that stuff here in a little bit, but it looks likely. It's just wild. So, yes, they own Call of Duty, but they own a crap ton of other stuff too.
And the other thing that's interesting about this is not only will it go through, but it's not going through. If everything goes through, they're not going to technically own it until next year.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about 6 months into, like, it's a full year.
Yeah. So let's kind of go through some of those details, and then we'll get into some of the kind of speculation stuff of it. So kind of laid out, you know, what happened, the price, as you mentioned, the timeline on this isn't immediate. And to compare, again, we saw the Bethesda acquisition, with the Bethesda acquisition that took like 8 months before, like, it was official, I want to say something like that, nearly a year before it was official. We're looking at least that long with this one, because Activision is significantly larger than Bethesda. Bethesda was a big deal when that happened. There's also going to be some regulatory questions. Let's get that one out of the way. We'll talk about that really quick. And there's a good link in the show notes if you go by gamingUncensored.com about this, of just about the kind of antitrust side of this. And of course, that was the first thing I thought when I saw this news, other than holy crap. But I'll be honest, the first thing I thought after I heard the news, because I heard the news on NPR. I was driving home from dropping off Genevieve at school, and on NPR, they were like, big news out of video game world. I'm like, what in the world is this on NPR? That's how big of a thing it is. It's that it's like, I'm watching this interview again in the show notes with Bobby Kotick and Phil Spencer on CNBC talking about video games, like, just nuts, all this stuff. Anyway, my second thought after what the crap was, are they actually going to be able to do this because of antitrust laws, and that this is getting to the point that it's feeling maybe a little antitrusty? I ultimately think it's probably going to go through, but it does raise a lot of regulatory flags, and it does have to get approved.
It doesn't just feel antitrusty. It is. Okay, we just spent the first 5 minutes of the show talking about how we're old. The idea of one company owning this many franchises is scary to me.
Yes.
And you sent me a text the morning that this happened. Like, no, hey, how you doing? No, good morning. Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard, and I'm like, I nearly fell out of my chair. this is enough franchises that it is scary to me. We talk about how wonderful Game Pass is and how it's just fabulous because we got all these games and we don't have to pay for them. That now we're on the edge of, I'm feeling like when we were kids and we read 1984 and like, you know, this is kind of 1984 or if you want to go newer, it's kind of like Ready Player One, where one corporation owns this environment.
Yeah.
And everybody in the world is playing in this environment. And we are the people that whined and complained about backwards compatibility and then whined and complained about other things that no longer exist, like the death of Blockbuster. And then we whined and complained about, you know, games as a service, and then like we are those people, and we understand that, and we understand that there's a group of you guys out there that are thinking this is awesome, let's get it going. But I'm having a hard time feeling that way.
Yeah, it is. It's tricky on so many levels, because there's some things I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, and I'm excited about some things, and then there's a lot of things I'm like, I'm wary of media consolidation anywhere, right? Like, just yes, the less competition there is, the worse the outcomes generally over time. And in the short run, I can see a lot of really positives for this. The long run is where I'm starting to get a little more flaky on it. Just to throw some numbers out, I was curious about this, and this varies from kind of where you see it reported, but ballpark numbers here of market cap of kind of major gaming companies. And realizing that, like, Microsoft is the top of this list by a lot, because Microsoft's a lot more than just a gaming company, right? Like, they do all kinds of stuff. And so, like, Amazon isn't included on this list, even though Amazon's getting more and more into the gaming world. But just to put that in perspective here. Market caps of the big gaming companies, essentially, what is their stock worth of all the shares that they have sold? What is the price of this per share? What is that total worth? Microsoft is between $1 and $2 trillion, again, depending on kind of where you're looking at. And that's way ahead of everybody else, way, way, way up there. Tencent is number two on this list with over $500 billion market cap. Again, Tencent, China, not really into our world yet, but obviously China's massive, and so they've got a big, big footprint. Sony is number three at about $140 billion. So again, just that drop off there. And Sony, to be fair, does a lot more than just video games, but Sony is a much smaller company overall than Microsoft is. And then a couple of other overseas companies. And then the next one on the list is Activision Blizzard. And so of American or Japanese companies, so we'll put it that way, of game companies that are Western, even though Japan isn't Western, I get that. But, you know, prominent here in the United States. It goes Microsoft, Sony, Activision, Blizzard. Like, that's the list. And then Nintendo is right under Activision Blizzard. The market cap of Activision Blizzard is $63 billion, according to this. And so about, you know, around what Microsoft paid for it, a little over that. But that stock bumped way up after the announcement. Nintendo is about $55 billion. And so the market cap of Nintendo is less than what the market cap of Activision Blizzard is. That's what we're talking about here with this consolidation. EA is about $40 billion. Like, Take-Two is $20 billion. Like, it really, like, Activision on market cap. And now, to be fair, there's lots of ways you measure the value, the worth, all that. This is one way. This isn't a you know, standard, you know, quantifiable, this is how much they're worth. There's lots of other metrics to this. But one way to look at it is Microsoft is acquiring the next biggest game publisher, or the biggest game publisher in a lot of ways, because Microsoft's market cap is a lot more than just their gaming division. That's where those antitrust issues pop up for me. It's whenever the article that I mentioned in the show notes does a good job of talking about this. Horizontal mergers are what raise antitrust issues. Vertical mergers, where one big company takes over a smaller company, Microsoft to Bethesda, made a lot more sense. Not as many questions there. But Activision is a big, big, big player. The biggest outside of the first party, and even bigger than, you know, Nintendo, theoretically, here again. Multiple ways you could quantify this, but for our purposes right now, we'll say that. That raises red flags. And I'm curious to what the regulators do, because they're both American companies. This has to get through American regulation. We'll see. But I would guess at the end of the day, these people have lobbyists all over the place. I think this is going to get through.
and that the reason that I'm positive that it gets through is that we spent 20 minutes before we turn on the mics and the cameras and everything else talking about internet and that whole thing. And I don't know anybody anywhere that uses a large internet provider that their internet doesn't suck most of the time, right? Like, that's the thing that happens. You have been lucky with AT&T Fiber. You've had a few, like, I can count on my hand the number of days where you called me and says, hey, this is bad. But for the most part, you've been really lucky.
Yeah.
And I'm in the new space that we're talking about. There will be fiber, thank you, Lord. But it's not going through AT&T, and I'm weary of that because of how good your service has been. But for the most part, when you're talking about Time Warner Cable or AT&T or any of these people, like, they're the biggest company on the planet, and they don't care if your internet sucks, right? Like, they don't care. And we're getting to the point with Microsoft where they can just make a whole bunch of stuff because they own all of these companies, and none of it has to be really stellar, and they'll still make a ton of money because they own all of this.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And that's probably a horrible analogy, but like, I don't know anybody on Time Warner Cable that's happy with it, or Spectrum, or any of those
for sure
that are happy with their internet service. And this is a very similar situation.
Yeah, it I think it's a legit concern, for sure. But it's not something that's going to be overnight. It's something that's going to be in the coming years, not in the coming days. And so we'll have to see. But I think it's something we need to keep our eyes on. So we talked a little bit about what happened and kind of a little bit the how. Let's talk a little bit about the why. And like I said, Phil has not been shy about it. And not to overlook this point, Phil also got a promotion, this whole thing. He is now CEO of Xbox. That's his official title now. So good for Phil. And he's making the most of it. He's everywhere right now. But he's been doing a bunch of media interviews, kind of talking about what they're trying to accomplish with this. And of course, a lot of it is they have great IPs, right? Like we are thrilled to have Call of Duty as part of our catalog. We're thrilled to have, you know, all these Blizzard games. And like I said, he brought up Hexen or Tony Hawk or whatever Guitar Hero, these other franchises that are big deals that you may not think of on the same level of Call of Duty, because we get the annual Call of Duty thing that's happening out there. But one thing that Phil has talked about, and that Bobby has talked about, because Bobby Kotick is still a part of this at this point, we'll go on this little side train for just a second. Because,
you know, back up, because we've been talking about all of the money that Bobby Kotick has made over his time, and that he recently took a pay cut. Yeah, that pay cut's out the window because he just made all that money back.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to make that point. I was not sure about it now because you made it. I could go off of my little thing about it.
Yeah.
Because this, obviously, they've been talking about this for a while. This is not a, like, all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, Microsoft has decided to buy Activision. Like, this has been in the works for a while. Before the sexual harassment stuff came to light in the past several months, I guarantee you this discussion was happening. And now the seriousness of which it happened and the speed of getting it done when Activision stock tanked because of all this stuff around them obviously played into it. We won't get into that part immediately, but Bobby knew, right? Like, Bobby knew that this was in the works, and that when he took the massive pay cut, he also still owns all this stock. And so as soon as that stock price goes whoop, like, Bobby gets a big payday. And so, yeah, do not feel bad for Bobby Kotick at anything. And he still has a job. Like, that's one thing that they've said in this, is that at least for the time being, they're keeping him on. Now, again, this deal is far from being done. But for the time being, Bobby's still there. Phil and Bobby are on CNBC together talking about it, singing each other's praises. Like, even if there's, like, bad blood between them in some way, they're not going to let that out in the public right now or whatever. Bobby's still got a job, which just drives me nuts. And probably has more security at his job right now than he has in a long time, because he's ushering through this massive deal that's going to make all these shareholders a ton of cash, right? Like, everybody's banking in right now.
Like, I love the guys at IGN, but they kind of made me snicker, and I kind of wanted to I kind of wish that we could talk to these two guys that were actually, that I saw on this video podcast thing. I don't even remember their names at this point, but one of them actually said, "Hey, maybe this will get Bobby out," and I'm thinking to myself, do you people not understand that at this point, Bobby has made so much money off of this deal that by the time it's time for Bobby to leave, Bobby's not going to care. Bobby's going to buy an island somewhere in Fiji. And after he gets his island bought and set up, he's going to go get another corporate job because he made so much money for Activision Blizzard.
Yep.
That guy's not, it may not be in gaming, but that guy is going to be a corporate titan, because at the end of the day, He made billions and billions and billions of dollars for Activision Blizzard. So we can be like, ooh, maybe this will get Bobby out. But I guarantee you, folks, we're going to see Bobby Kotick somewhere again.
Oh, yeah. And I think it probably will end up, by the time the acquisition goes through, they're going to give him an off-ramp for him to get out. Yes. I think that's pretty clear. And he's going to get to shepherd this through, look like the big hero, and go out in a blaze of glory instead of going out disgraced like he should have been, which is a shame in this whole thing. And, it, you know, like on a very personal level, on a business level, I'm like, yep, makes sense. Totally get it. Y'all are doing what you got to do. On a personal level, it pisses me off with Microsoft and Phil. I wish they would have said, hey, we're making this happen. And part of making this happen is cleaning house and getting rid of the toxic environment. And Bobby was part of that. They didn't do that. They chose not to do that again, because it would have created a bunch of headaches for them, you know, in the business side of things and whatever. And they're buddy-buddy and chumming it up and saying how they talk all the time and fine, whatever. But yeah, that part disappointed me with the whole thing.
Yeah.
We'll move past that for now, though. We'll come back up in the discussions, I promise. But talk about a little bit more about both of them and why they're talking about the why of this. And so, mentioned the IPs. That's obviously a big deal. But a term that's come up a lot, and this is going to be a fun one for discussion here from both Phil and Bobby and everybody else talking about this, is metaverse. That they have been talking about this in terms of the metaverse, and that Phil is saying, you know, like, we need to have, you know, this stake in the metaverse, and Activision is part of leveraging that going forward.
That's
Bobby
is crap,
talking about the metaverse as whatever. I listened to a podcast that was put out before this acquisition was done, but they were talking about it in that terms, in those terms, as well as the metaverse being this thing or whatever. And like, as painful as it is from corporate speak and everything else, it's not something we're getting away from. It's going to, like, if we think the NFT chat right now is annoying, like, metaverse in the next 2 or 3 years is going to put that to shame. And those two things are going to go hand in hand. I finally got, like, the NFT thing, because in the metaverse, the NFT thing makes a whole lot more sense. If you're not talking about games from, like, an individual this game or that game perspective, but you're talking about an ecosystem that, like, you live in, quote unquote, and
NFTs make
a much more sense, right? Like, you could track purchases, you could sell things. If you're living in the metaverse, you got to have some sense of ownership, and NFTs are the way you do that.
And we've talked about this before, but let me just break this down for you and why a lot of this blockchain discussion has been happening in the meetings that I'm in, because I have an avatar in Second Life, and I have an avatar in the more metaverse friendly version of Second Life called OpenSim, which is a bunch of connected worlds. Like, I can log in one place and on OpenSim and teleport to another world. OpenSim in itself is a functioning metaverse at this point. And part in these environments that we're talking about, I have an inventory of stuff, of clothes, of stuff that I can attach to my avatar, hats and canes and various things. And 6 months down the road, or a year down the road, that stuff is going to be sold as an NFT. It's not now. Yeah. Copying it is easy. It's frowned upon.
Right.
If you're using a copy bot and you get caught, you know, you're going to get in some trouble, because there are people making money on this stuff.
Yeah.
But I have an inventory in OpenSim and in Second Life, and all of that is going to turn into NFTs at some point.
Yeah, for sure. So it is, the inevitability of it is coming. What the material looks like, materially looks like, is still kind of up in the air, but it's coming. So So there's that aspect of it. Phil also said that one of the things that Microsoft is trying to do here is almost, and this is me putting some words in his mouth, and so I admit that, but this is how I read this, is Microsoft trying to shore up game companies with a company being Microsoft that knows the gaming world. He said like Nintendo and Sony, he said they have a long history in video games. Nintendo's not going to do anything that damages gaming in the long run because that's the business they're in. Same is true for Sony. Valve's the same way. He throws Valve in here. He says, when we look at the other big tech companies for Microsoft, the competitors, Google has search and Chrome, Amazon has shopping, Facebook has social, all these large scale consumer businesses. The discussions we've had internally where those things are important to those other tech companies and how many consumers they reach, gaming can be that for us. And kind of right. going on to say that they want to have gaming be in the gaming companies and to have like this idea that he's concerned about tech companies encroaching into the gaming industry, what is exactly what Microsoft did, you know, 15, 20 years ago, whatever it is right. now, 20 plus years, gracious, we're old, but 20 years ago, Microsoft, when the Xbox came out, people like us were like, oh, Microsoft and video games, that's dumb. Microsoft makes Windows, you know, like that was the thing then. Microsoft has established themselves as a key player in the video game world. Like, he's right. Like, I would rather Activision be acquired by Microsoft than by Google. But it still doesn't make me feel a ton better that it's acquired by anybody.
Can we talk about Google for a second? Because I talked about all of this in a meeting that I had yesterday. We had an hour-long metaverse discussion yesterday. And if you think about the companies that are out there now, the company that is best suited to start this metaverse thing, which essentially what the metaverse is having one identity and being able to go from place to place to place to place. That's what the theory is essentially. And after this hour-long discussion, we basically came to the conclusion that as far as the companies are concerned, the one that has the best tech for that already set up is Google, because I'm signed into my Google Chrome. I'm on Google Chrome right now. It takes care of my email. It takes care of my documents. And I'm one of those, you know, when you go to a website that says you want to sign in with Facebook, Google or whatever, Google is what I choose because it just works. Like, they're the one that's set up to make this metaverse thing work right now. And so I understand what you're saying is that I wouldn't want them to own Activision Blizzard. But if we're talking about the metaverse, I'm not sure they wouldn't do a better job with it than Microsoft at
but
this point.
But the thing is that there's multiple components to it, right? It's very multifaceted. You're right. Google has that one kind of thing that they're doing well. But Facebook, aka Meta, right? Like, they named their whole company after this concept now, has the VR space. Like, they own that. Like, nobody else is even in that space right now. And that's going to be a part of this. It's not as big of a part of it today.
But see, that came up yesterday in this meeting, and I actually was talking about you and I, and that we got frustrated. I said, we have two Oculus headsets, and I said, we got frustrated when the Facebook account got linked into that, and you had to have one, and I told these people that I was sitting with, Facebook doesn't want to know this, but you and I weren't going to have that on our personal account. We made up an account just for that. Sure. That's not what Facebook wants. That's not they want your account that they're already mining to be connected to your,
of course,
to your Oculus. And I said, we didn't do that, and neither did, I mean, there's a ton of other people that did the same thing we did.
Of course, but let's not pretend it's not going to get there, right? At some point, you're going to have some, and it may not be with Facebook, it may be with Google, or maybe with whoever, but at some point that's going to be a reality, that you're going to have all that stuff tied into every personal account. Like, yes, you're going to have an online identity, again, across multiple companies or whatever, which we already have, but they're all going to exist. And Microsoft wants to be one of those companies, already is, but they want to be that for the gaming space, you know, like, again,
right,
Facebook is with social media, like Amazon is with shopping. Like, just the more that there's going to be integration between those things, the more that you can just start living again in kind of this virtual realm as opposed to physical reality, which is weird that we're talking about that as in it's where we're going. But it's where we're going. Like, let's not pretend otherwise at this point. Like, that's the trajectory. Now, the scale to which that happens, like how sci-fi-ish that gets in the next 30 years or whatever, I don't know. But it's where we're going. There's going to be a component. I mean, there already is component to that. Let's not pretend, just like you're saying. We're already logged in on all these devices and all these different services that know everything we're doing. That's not going away. It's not going to be less. And so Microsoft is working to make sure that they inhabit that part of the gaming space more prominently than anybody else does. And right now they're well done. You know, like they're well situated for that. Game Pass is that dominant service. And that's what, you know, what we're doing when we talk about the metaverse in part is moving away from a physical product to moving toward a virtual service that may have virtual products, getting back into the NFT kind of things, but getting away from the physical product. Microsoft has been working toward that end for several years now that we've been talking about. This is them shoring that up even more.
I mean, look at the way that we're doing this show. And I talked to you before we started the show about the internet and the, you know, getting the new space set up and the screens and all of that. And the reason that I want to get all of that square is because 95% of even what we do is on the internet, which I argued yesterday, the current internet as we know it is the metaverse. These companies trying to create the metaverse, that's stupid, because the internet is the metaverse, because it's the thing that connects all of this stuff together. And, you know, we're looking at screens, and we're looking at computers, and we're looking at this and that, and the internet's what connects all of that and allows us to do this. I was thinking yesterday, if you'd have told us when we were 15 years old that I'd be able to sit in my house with a light in my face, which is why I'm wearing these glasses, because I can't stand this freaking light in my face, and be able to see your face over there in real time on crappy internet, you would have blown our little minds.
For sure.
Like, I can't even imagine how this show is going to improve when we have good internet on both sides.
Yeah. And that's, like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, yes, we're already kind of in that realm with what the internet has become, but we're not there yet. Like, we know also that, like, we have all this sci-fi-ish stuff that we can get to that's becoming more and more real. Again, I have a virtual reality headset in a closet behind me. Like, that's nuts, right? Like, just bonkers. And I haven't pulled it out in 6 months. Like, also nuts. I need to do that. But just like, again, things that when we were a kid that you would have said, yeah, this is something you're going to do, we would have been like, you're crazy. Like, that's wild. But here we are. So we're going to come back to this topic as well, because this is not a topic that's going away. This is going to be a theme for the rest of our lives, honestly. Again, until we die or the apocalypse happens, which, you know, like if we get all Fallout over here, then this kind of goes away. But until then, this is going to be a topic of conversation.
That's not out the window.
Yeah.
And that's the other side of this.
When the AI becomes sentient and this decides to take us over, like, then we become the Matrix. And I got, you know, totally viable here too.
We're just
slowly ushering in our computer overlords.
I have an Amazon device on my right. I have a Google phone on my left. Right. And I am under no illusions that both of them are listening to me right now.
Yes, you are talking to a Microsoft computer with an Apple over your shoulder. We are solidly in that space. So. Let me mention really quick, just one more thing from Phil here. He did tweet this out, and I'll just read the tweet, and then we can discuss a little bit. He said, quote, had good calls this week with leaders at Sony, of course, after the acquisition. I confirmed our intent to honor all agreements upon acquisition of Activision Blizzard and our desire to keep Call of Duty, specific theirs, Call of Duty, on PlayStation. Sony is an important part of our industry, and we value our relationship. A lot of intentional language in there. I confirmed our intent to honor all existing agreements is not confirming that you're going to honor existing agreements, but I imagine there's going to be, they did with Bethesda, right? Deathloop came out on PlayStation before it came out anywhere else. Tokyo Ghostwire or whatever is a PlayStation exclusive, and so they have precedent for doing this. And the desire, again, it is our desire, not we will, but it is our desire to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. I do think it probably benefits them to have Call of Duty multi-platform, but it also benefits them to have Call of Duty on Game Pass day one. Like, if you have no other choice but to play it on a PlayStation, you're going to play it on a PlayStation. But if you have a choice to pay it with your Game Pass subscription, you're probably not going to play it on PlayStation. So the amount of people playing Call of Duty on a Sony device is going to tank, even if they keep it multi-platform. And I just don't see what they lose by keeping it multi-platform. Like, sure, you can still go and play it on your PlayStation. We get your money. Or you can come buy our device or subscribe to our service and we get your money and you get to pay it for cheaper. You know, like... Yeah, just whatever. But for everybody that's worried about Call of Duty not being on a PlayStation device, they're going to try. And I get that. Well, they should try, but there's no guarantee that they will.
And see, there's another reason for this. We talked about the antitrust thing. And let's be honest, if Microsoft said, okay, now we have all this stuff, we own it, and all of it's going to be on Game Pass, and you can't play it anywhere else, that's going to throw up some red flags, whether it makes sense for those red flags to go up or not. And so they're not dumb, right? Yeah. They're not. That's the other part of this, is that they don't want to spend years in antitrust court. They're not interested in that.
Yeah.
But it's big enough, like you said at the beginning of the show, that if they're not really careful, like they're having a moonwalk here, they're going to do some serious moonwalking through all of this to get it done, because that's why antitrust law was invented. I mean, AT&T is not what AT&T used to be.
Yep.
Because of this. So, I think some of that they have to do.
For sure. 100%. And like you said, they're not dumb. They're going to make sure that they thread this needle in such a way that it makes it look like it's a good idea. Even if after the acquisition is done, approved and everything, they go, we decided to make Call of Duty exclusive. Okay. Like they got through the process where they could do that. But again, we'll see what happens. Because neither one of us are big Call of Duty people, I don't really care. But it is important for the industry, even if it's not something I care about. And let me, just a couple things on that. This is in the show notes too. By the way, go by gamingandcensored.com, because there's a lot of stuff that we're not going to get to talk about today with this topic. We're going to get back to it. But this is interesting. So last year, 2021, set a record for U.S. game spending. So this is just in the U.S. This is not global, but in the U.S. to put in a little perspective. The total spending for the game industry in the United States in 2021 was $60.4 billion. So Microsoft is spending more on this acquisition than the total revenue or the total spending in the United States for video games last year, which again, just mind-boggling. But with that,
Would you like to take a guess at what the best-selling title of the year in the United States was last year?
I'm going to say Call of Duty.
Call of Duty Vanguard was the best-selling title. That's what Microsoft just got. Again, just like, again, I don't even care about Call of Duty Vanguard. Like, whatever. It's another Call of Duty. I'm so tired of Call of Duty. This is, according to this article, the 13th consecutive year that there's been a Call of Duty at the top of the U.S. charts. Madden NFL 22 came in at third. I don't know what number two was. I was trying to find that in here. But anyway, 13 years running, that Call of Duty title is the best-selling title in the United States. That's what Microsoft just got. And they spent more on it than the entire spending in the United States on the game industry for this year.
I'm going to go down a rabbit hole here because that number is insane to me. Because after all of this happened and they're talking about all this stuff going to be on Game Pass, I started trying to remember the last time that I bought a game.
Yep.
The last time that I said to myself, here's $60 for a game. And it's been a long time. So that $60 billion number, like, I don't know who's spending that money. Somebody is, the Call of Duty people and the Madden people that do that every year. I know they are. But, like, I haven't bought a game in a long time, and you've bought a few because we're trying to be relevant, but you haven't bought nearly as many as we probably should have to be relevant on the show.
Sure.
And so to me, that number is staggering because it's been a long time since I've said to any store or retailer anywhere, here's $60, give me a game.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the industry is changing and people are spending that money on Game Pass instead of buying individual titles, which is the direction we're going. And we're going to see Sony's answer to that soon. They actually have an event tomorrow. So we're recording this on Saturday. So when you're listening to this, they have an event on Sunday, teased, I believe, that a lot of the speculation is that they're going to announce backwards compatibility for PlayStation 1, 2, and 3 games on PlayStation 5. It already has PlayStation 4 backwards compatibility because they're teasing it with this 1, 2, 3 because it's January 23rd, whatever. So we'll see what happens there. But it could also include, or the inevitable announcement coming down the road from Sony, that they are going to have their own service like Game Pass. It's just a matter of time and probably not very much time. Could be as soon as tomorrow. And so it's going to be service oriented across the board. We'll see what Nintendo does there somewhere. Nintendo's just crazy to me, but I still play my Switch all the time, so good for Nintendo. But on that note, let me mention just a Sony number really quick, because we've been talking about Microsoft this whole time. Let's end with talking just a little bit about Sony. One estimate, this is all based on estimates because there's not official figures on this, but probably a pretty good estimate here, is that Sony has outsold the Xbox Series X/S, so taking both of the Microsoft consoles into account. The PlayStation 5 has outsold them 2-1 globally at this point. And so while massive week for Microsoft, huge, huge week for Microsoft, Sony also still has news that they could say, hey, look at us. We're doing big things. We're super relevant in this industry as well. And this, so that obviously just in that number is a big deal. And we can talk about why that is with chip shortages and everything else that's been going on. There's a lot going on there. But on the Sony side of things, obviously Sony is in the market to be doing some acquisitions as well. Who would you see? Who could we see Sony going after that would obviously not make this big of a splash, because Sony's not going to purchase EA, and I can't think of anybody else that would make this big of a splash, but that they could at least have something to kind of hang their hat on comparatively?
The first one that comes to mind for me is Rockstar for them.
Yeah. Or Take-Two.
Because those two companies started out as Sony exclusive kind of content stuff. So either one of those I could see. And the interesting thing about Sony, now that I'm thinking about it, like the numbers after this week and this Microsoft deal, the numbers for that are being spent for these acquisitions are getting insane. And I'm looking around wondering if Sony is big enough to not be bought out by a Microsoft or a Google or a, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I would, on the, like, who could Sony acquire thing, I would throw in, you know, the big Japanese companies in there, Konami or Capcom Square. Or Square. Yeah. I think Square Enix is the one to me that makes the most sense because they've always felt like a Sony company first to me anyway. And so I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that one happen, which would be, like, we're playing Guardians of the Galaxy right now. That's a Square Enix game, you know, like, yeah. Obviously we think Final Fantasy, you and I do, because that's what we grew up with, Square titles. But there's a ton of stuff out there that has Square Enix on it too. So that would be a big one. But it is an interesting thought too, of the other way. Could Amazon or Google come in and acquire Sony? I mean, Sony's such a big company overall. That's the thing with, like, Microsoft's probably not going to acquire Sony because they aren't complementary in a lot of ways, right? Like, no, acquiring Activision is complementary to what Microsoft already does. Can we throw Nintendo in that? Is there, like, a chance of a Sony Nintendo merger? You know, like, there's I'm going to throw out everything because I don't know. Like, something could happen that's wild like that.
Nintendo, I'm not worried about because Nintendo doesn't care about money.
Like, yeah, that's the truth.
They don't care. Like, they're like, yeah, we make enough money, we're good.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to buy Nintendo, because when you think about Japanese culture and all of that, like, it just sort of goes against that, really.
Yeah, we say that, and I wouldn't feel that way about Sony. Like, it's also a specific to these companies thing, you know, because Sony's going to be at play here. Like, Sony's going to be doing something to respond to this.
But
see, Nintendo doesn't have to.
What I think what keeps Sony in kind of the safe zone is that maybe doesn't really apply to Nintendo. Like, Nintendo could be bought if they cared about money, but I don't really feel like Sony is going to have a problem for a while, because I mean, somebody would have to buy the Sony Music catalog. They'd have to buy
yeah, Sony's
the
just
tech
on that
side of Sony. Like, they'd have to buy the TVs and the
exactly
all of it.
Yeah,
like
they're a multifaceted company. They're not a gaming company, much like Microsoft. Microsoft has tons of different things that they do. That's where Sony is going to be much more likely to be acquiring than be acquired, because they do so much other stuff as well. Like, they're probably not going to sell off the gaming division, which theoretically they could, but that seems very, very unlikely, right? So at that point, but Nintendo is a game company. Nintendo doesn't do anything else. Nintendo is a game company. Right. They're the only one of the big three, you know, the first party companies that's strictly gaming. And so they are kind of right. But, like, if somebody made the right offer, I don't see it happening.
I'm with you on that. Like I said, they don't care about money.
Yeah.
But within reason.
Yeah. It's a different company for sure. So then it's, you know, EA, UB, Take-Two, you know, like, and you could go down the line into the not as big ones. But those, and again, the Capcom, Konami, Square Enix, the Japanese companies, I think, all in there as well. Those are the ones that I would think are the next ones that will be looking to consolidate. My kind of out of left field big prediction, maybe not out of left field, but if a play is going to happen, I think it's Google and Ubisoft. Like, they've been working so closely recently, like, that, you know, Assassin's Creed was the Stadia, you know, beta test, and Stadia and Ubisoft have been working, like, day one releases and all that kind of stuff forever. I could see Google, like, just eventually buying out Ubisoft and that being their big play of trying to get more into the game world.
Can we talk about since we're on this, can we talk about Rockstar for a second? Because I've been seeing commercials for GTA Online. I talked about this last week, and
yeah,
hey, that looks really cool and something that we need to get involved in. But yesterday, every Friday night, I host concerts in the metaverse. I feel weird saying that, but that's what it is.
It's really what it is. Yeah, for sure.
Every Friday night for 13 years, I've hosted independent musicians in the metaverse. And the guy that I had last night is a guy that's been working for me for a long time, and we've known each other very well. And he said to me, hey, I've been playing Red Dead Online, and it's real good. And my thought was, I don't need to hear that, because you and I probably aren't going to play GTA Online. But if Red Dead Online's real good, that we're going to have a hard time not playing that.
Yeah, you say that. I last night or the night before installed GTA 5 on the PS5 just for Grand Theft Auto Online reasons. So,
That's funny.
So, because I just want to see it, because I'm like you, I've just been seeing so much about it. I played it a little bit when it first launched, but I haven't really gotten back into it. And now I'm like, okay, there's a lot of people talking about GTA Online, and I love GTA. Like, maybe I gotta give it another shot.
So back to my original point, if GTA Online is good and Red Dead Online is good,
yep,
those are two online properties that nobody else comes close to. I mean, like, they're different than World of Warcraft, they're different than Minecraft, they're different than Overwatch. Those are two things that don't exist anywhere in this universe.
Yep.
So if I were one of these companies, I'd be looking at these two online environments, because to me, GTA Online and Red Dead Online is kind of sort of what we hoped the Matrix Online would be, and right. It wasn't.
Like, those are both kind of metaverse-y, right? Like, it's more Westworld-y to me, but that's metaverse-y too, you know? Like, it does have this, yeah. 100%. I think, like, that would be, if I were Sony and I was like, I'm putting my focus on one company now that Microsoft has Activision, who am I going after? I think it would be 2K, because I was just looking at, you know, or Take-Two, sorry, which is 2K and Rockstar, right? That's the prominent what Take-Two is. And so 2K is all the 2K sports stuff. Borderlands, BioShock, Civ, yeah. XCOM, you know, like, that's big stuff. And then, of course, the Rockstar, you know, you get GTA, you get Red Dead. Like, that's earth-shattering. And for the longest time, Take-Two and Sony were so close. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but that's where I would put my focus if I was Sony. Like, that, make that happen, try to get, you know, squaring. I don't know. We're going to see more consolidation. So it's just a really interesting time in gaming. I'll mention just really quick, go by the show notes, because we're not getting everything. Majora's Mask coming to Virtual Console in February. Of course, you have to have the expansion pack, but whatever. Majora's Mask, fantastic title coming. So,
yes.
And on the releases side of things, again, still nothing big. Rainbow Six Extraction has a 74 on Metacritic. I don't think that's what UB was hoping for, but that's where we're at right now. And then I was trying to think, there's one more that I thought was notable. And I don't remember it now, because there's just not that much notable right now release wise, because everything is about crazy other game stuff because it's January. So Electrician Simulator on Steam, if you want to go simulate being an electrician.
No, no. So there are jobs that I'd be okay with. I don't want to be an electrician.
Yeah.
I just don't. Like, the idea of working at a job where there's a possibility that you can get shocked multiple times a day. Like, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want to play that game.
yeah.
That doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah.
At all.
No, I'm with you there. So.
So no.
Yeah, not yeah, whatever. But those simulator games are so ridiculous. If it pops up on like a Humble subscription thing, I'll play it just to try it out.
Yeah, you so, would.
Yeah. Now I just pulled up Rockstar's website with Grand Theft Auto Online, just sitting there staring at me going, yeah, I got to try it. I think I'm going to try it. We got to get through Guardians. We got to play Horizon. But somewhere in there, some Grand Theft Auto is going to happen.
What needs to happen is we need to get my new environment set up. And we need to get that set up with Grand Theft Auto Online and Red Dead Online.
There you go.
In mind.
Yes.
And then, hey, we got two things to play. So... Yep.
For sure. Yeah. I like it.
I'm it makes me nervous because to me either one of those titles is like going into the black hole that we went into for 5 years with World of Warcraft. Like yep. we might start playing those and just everything else might go out the window, which would be really fun for us and really bad for this show. So
yeah.
I'm a little paranoid about that, but that's here fair. We go.
That's right. Yeah.
At least I wasn't first. At least you were the one that was like,
that. There you go. Silver lining.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So there's lots more we can talk about. We're not going to do it on this show. That's it for this show. But we got lots to talk about. Our voicemail line is still alive. We need to hear from you because the thing that bothers me about all of this stuff that's going on is every media company in the world, IGN and whoever else, GameSpot and whoever else, is commenting on all of this stuff. But none of these people are people that actually play games, okay? I mean, they do. They sure. do, but it's different. They're not the average gamer, right?
Right.
So I really want to hear from you guys. What do you guys think? Are you excited? Are you freaked out? Are you bummed? What are you feeling like? So call the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And of course you can send us an email with an audio file attached. We will play that also. I really want to know what you guys think because you hear what we think all the time. Really want to know what you guys think that I'm very interested in that. So definitely use those two things. Let us know. As we said at the beginning of the show, we need your money. So we would love it if you would come be a patron and look at our fabulous faces on video.
Yes.
They're not that fabulous. but
you but can it does appear we made it through this show, so that's good.
Yes. So if you'd like to become a patron, you can do that from gaminguncensored.com. We would love to have you. And with new environment coming up and with E4 coming up, there will be lots and lots and lots of content.
Yes.
So get ready for that. It is the perfect time to become a patron. And I will say what I said last week. We are in need of a sponsor. So if you are a business and would like to sponsor this show, we don't know why you would, but if you want to, we'll totally take your money.
Yes.
We would love to take your money. So if you have a business and you would just like to have us talk about your product, I think it'd be really funny if somebody with like a business that specialized in mops contacted us and had us talk about mops every show. Like that would be funny. I would find that entertaining. But if you have a business and you would like to sponsor this show, we would love to have you. GamingUncensored@gmail.com. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And for one more week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for this show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.